right. So stand with me this evening. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2. We'll read verse 11 this evening. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse number 11. We do ask, if you have to have your cell phone with you tonight, you cannot turn it off, that you at least please turn the volume down to vibrate so we don't have any distractions during the preaching hour. We greatly appreciate that. Are we in 2 Corinthians 2 this evening? The Bible says in verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be back in your house. Lord, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you for those who followed you in believer's baptism. Lord, thank you for working in our hearts. And Father, as we meet here again tonight, we just pray that you wouldn't be done now, Lord, that you just speak with us again tonight. And I pray that you just work in each and every one of our hearts as needed. Father, if there be any here that don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you convict them of their need of you tonight. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't leave here without getting that settled. And Father, I just pray that your name would be lifted up in everything that we think, say, and do. We love you, Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. That was wonderful. Praise the Lord for good music. I thank God for the music he's allowed us to have here at Bible Baptist Church. And the people that participate in that are a blessing. Thank you so much. And it's good to have Miss Harmony's folks here. And thanks for being here tonight. She did a wonderful job on decorating for the banquet over there, the couple's retreat, and worked hard at that. Came out really nice. And appreciate the Barneys' work already here in the ministry. And they've been such a blessing already. Of course, my folks are having to introduce them this morning, because then you all get mad at me tonight when I don't have my dad preach. And so, but my dad and mom are here, and it's good to have them. And then my little sister, Rachel, and it's good to have my family here. Always love when they're down. And, of course, they don't come to see us. They came to see the grandkids. But that's okay. That's okay. It's good to see them even so anyways. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. And we'll continue our preaching. Now, last Sunday we had the teenagers preach, but the Sunday before that, spoke on the subject, knowing your enemy. And we'll continue a little bit with that tonight. Every Christian, you got to understand, every Christian is in a fight with the devil. Every single one of us, we're in a fight against the devil. And don't think that he's not after you. Don't think that he's not trying to take you down, because he is. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, he's after you to take you down. The devil wants to take me down, but I want to get victory over the devil. And that's how every perspective ought to be of the Christian. I want to win. I want to see victory over him. And the Christian, in perspective of all that, the Christian should desire, I don't want to be ignorant of the devil's devices, because I want to get the advantage over the devil. The more that I know about his game plan, about his attack, the more advantage I have over him. So I'm going to work hard to make sure I know the enemy. I don't want to be ignorant of his tactics. I don't want to be ignorant of his schemes, of his attacks. Know what the devil's going to do to work. If I know what he's going to do in order to work on my life, I can be prepared for his attack on my life. We want to have that advantage. This is why we must know our enemy. Verse 11, this is what Paul says here. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul says, I'm not ignorant of how he's going to work in my life. I know his devices. I know his tactics. I studied them out. And I can't do it without God's help, but with God's help and knowing how the devil's going to come after me, I'm going to see victory in my life. And that's what our desire ought to be. We'll preach on the subject, knowing your enemy. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We'll get into the message. Lord, I'd ask that you please bless tonight. Lord, the devil's a real enemy out there. He's just as real as the people that sit in the congregation tonight. Lord, his plan is real. The fact that he does want to take us down. Lord, he does want to destroy our life. Lord, I'd ask that you'd help us to see that tonight. Lord, maybe tonight even some are under attack by the devil. The devil's trying to pull them out of the will of God in their life, trying to pull them off that path. I'd ask that we'd have open eyes to see what we need to see from Scripture tonight. Lord, please reveal to us what we need to see, and may you give us tender hearts to receive it, make decisions from it. Lord, please give me wisdom, your power as I preach. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. What do we got to know about the devil? We looked at it a little bit. We got into it last time. First, I got to know the devil's goal. What's the devil's end game? What's the devil's objective in my life? We looked at it. First of all, the devil's goal, his first goal is to have your soul. First goal, he wants to have you in hell with him forever one day. Now, for the Christian that's been born again, he can't do that. We believe in eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And so when I get saved, the devil can't have my soul. But what is the next step the devil's going to try to do? He's going to try to make sure that he keeps you out of the will of God. And we preached on that last time. The devil wants to keep us from the will of God for our lives. He doesn't care whose plan it is, as long as it's not God's plan in our life. Understand. He wants you to not be doing God's will. That's a pastor. That's a deacon. He wants you as an individual, as a Christian, not to be doing God's will for your life. We know the devil's goal, and a lot of times we can see it in our lives, if we'll understand, that's his goal. I can see him trying to get me out of his will. And I can see his working on my life. The second thing I need to know is I need to know the devil's attack. And like we said last time, it's a threefold attack. We looked at the first attack last week was his attack on the mind. The first thing that he's going to go after is our mind. A very, very vulnerable thing the mind is. We looked at it, he's going to try to plant doubt in your mind. Then he's going to try to plant distrust in your mind. Distrust towards God. Distrust toward your authorities. And then he's going to try to plant discord in your mind. Strife and contention in your mind towards others. And the Christian needs to guard his mind. What's the second area of attack? And this is what our message will be on tonight. The second area of his attack, if you're taking notes, this next area, this next the next place that he's going to go after your mind, note it, is your heart. The devil's going to have to go after your heart. Remember, the devil's goal is to keep us out of the will of God, to keep us from God's will for our life. And he's going to try to get your heart in order to make sure that happens. Why the heart? Why is the devil going to go after your heart, my heart, Christian? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, if you would. Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. I think you know where I'm going with this. Why is the devil, out of all things, he's going to attack your mind, then he's going to go for the heart. Why is he going to go for the heart in the believer's life? What's so important about the heart that he wants to do some things to our heart? Well, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 tells us why the devil's going to go after our hearts. Y'all there? I still hear pages turning. Now, wait a second. Proverbs, right after Psalms, you go to the middle of the Bible, go to a little bit to the right there, and you find Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. He says, guard your heart, protect your heart. Why? Look at it. For out of what? It. What is it describing? The heart. Out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. What does that mean there? Out of the heart are the issues of life. Everything flows from the source of the heart. The wordage that he's using here is that of, if you could think of a river, the Mississippi River. We all know the Mississippi River, right? Mississippi River. It has a source. It comes from somewhere. Anybody know the source of the Mississippi River? Lake Itasca. I said, nobody knows Lake Itasca, but that's a source. It has a source. It has somewhere that it comes from. Everything in our life comes from somewhere. Our actions, our attitude, our decisions come from somewhere. What is the source of our actions, our attitude, the decisions that we make in life? Our source, pay attention now, our source is the heart. The Bible says everything stems from the heart. Everything comes from the heart. The way that we go, the direction that we go in life comes from the heart. Why does the devil want to get after us? Because he knows if I get the heart, man, I can affect every area of their life. Your heart can go either direction. You know, your heart can either go to the right or go to the wrong. We're all made the same way when it comes to that. Exodus chapter 35, verse 21, it talks about how God worked on their hearts and the men had a willing heart to serve the Lord. You can have a heart to serve God with your life. I want to serve God. I want to please God. I want to be in the book. I want to obey the book. The other end of the spectrum, though, you can have a heart to do wrong. Matthew chapter 15, let's turn over there. Matthew, the New Testament, chapter 15, the first book in the New Testament there. What did Christ say about the heart? Matthew chapter 15, it could be used for good, it could be used for the positive, but understand it could also be used for evil, for sin, for rebellion. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 19. Look at this. It says, for out of the what? Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These things defile a man. He says, out of the heart proceed these things. And so stay with me now, church. Out of the heart could come either good, a desire to serve God, please God, that direction in our life, or out of the heart can come this desire to get into sin, to rebel against what God wants. Like he said here, the list of things, blasphemy, lies, thefts, murders. And so the heart could go either direction. It could go either way. So what is the heart? The heart, just like the mind, is a battleground. Man, if the devil gets a heart and gets a heart going the wrong direction, man, he's won. But if God has a heart going in the right direction, man, we're good this way. And so it's a battleground. That's why the devil is going to fight for your heart, Christian. That's why he's going to go after your heart, just like he's going to go after the mind. If he can get your heart, he's got you where he wants you. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Our heart decides the type of person that we're going to be. Our heart decides the direction that we're going to take. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I got to protect my heart, Christian. I got to watch out because the devil's after that old heart of mine. Wherever the heart is, everything else will follow. You know, the issue with a rebellious child, the issue with a child that decides, I'm going to be rebellious in my music, I'm going to be rebellious in my dress, my attitude, my speech, I'm rebellious. The issue is not their dress. The issue is not their music. The issue is not their speech. The real issue is their heart. You could try to put a Band-Aid over everything else, but the real issue in that young person's heart, in their life, is the heart there. The heart is in the wrong direction. And so the devil knows, if I get to the heart, all the other actions will follow suit. That's why he tries to attack our heart, and when he gets it, it's a conquering for him. Once again, you see the same tactics coming back in the Garden of Eden. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3, if you would. Genesis chapter 3. We see that the devil went after Eve's mind, that first battleground, the mind. He went after Eve's mind in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. And we see that here in the beginning of chapter 3 of Genesis, verse number 1, when that slippery, sly old serpent comes to Eve to deceive Eve, what does he do? Like we said, he first plants doubt. You see it in verse number 1. Yea, hath God said. Did God really mean that? Is it really what God wants you to do? Begin to plant doubt in our minds. You saw it there. Verse 4, we looked at it last time, distrust. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. The devil wanted to get Eve to distrust God, to distrust her husband. God really doesn't want the best for you. You know, is what they said really true? Distrust. And then verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. You know what he planted next? God's against you. Not only distrust, God's against you. God knows that it's going to make you wise, and he's trying to keep you from that. So pay attention now, church. He planted discord there. Strife against God and Eve. Then what was the next step that the serpent took after he attacked the mind? He then begins to attack Eve's heart, and that's what we're looking at. Verse number 6, we read on, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Notice here what the devil did. After he finished out working on her mind, he drew Eve's heart away from following God. Now follow me tonight. Eve, at one time, her heart was tender and soft towards God's commandments. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day they eat thereof, you shall surely die. Eve says, that's off limits. God said, don't touch. And she was tender towards that. In fact, when the serpent came up to her, she didn't want anything to do with that tree. A lot of times that's how Christians we are. I know that's wrong. I don't want to go that route. I know that it'll get me out of God's will, so I'm not going to touch that. But the serpent, the devil, the sly old devil, begins to work on our mind. That doubt, that distrust, that discord. And then he gets to the heart. He wants to pull us away from God altogether. You know, her heart is hard now. She says, I don't care what God said. God pointedly said, don't eat the fruit. And now at this point, we just read it. She says, hey, I'm going to go in. And that does look good. I do want that. And she purposely disobeys God. Her heart is now hardened in her life. You see, the devil got a hold of her heart after he got a hold of her mind. And we've got to be careful, Christian, because that's what the devil is going to do. After he starts placing things in your mind, he's going to go after your heart and begin to play things in your heart. He wants to harden your heart against God. To where no longer is it a question, like he brought it to you in your life. But now it's, you know what, I'm not even going to believe it. I don't want anything to do with it. A total denial, a total forsaking of it in her life. This is what Satan plans to do with you and I. He will attack our minds and then try to grab a hold of our heart and turn us away from God. Hey, no Christian this morning, the devil is going to attack your heart. He's going to attack your heart. What is he going to try to do to your heart? Three things he's going to try to plant in your heart. Three things he's going to try to plant in your heart. If we know him, I can at least fight against it. How's the devil going to attack in your heart? Number one, the devil is going to plant disdain in your heart. He's going to plant disdain in your heart. What is disdain? Contempt for someone else because of pride and self. A contempt for somebody else because of pride in my own life. You know what the devil's going to try to do? You read through the Bible. You know what the devil always is trying to do? Try to plant pride in our hearts. He wants to build us up with pride. He wants to build us up with arrogance. An inordinate esteem of ourselves. Well, I'm somebody. The devil's going to try to convince you that you're somebody. That I need to be treated some way special. That the way that others treat me, man, I deserve better than that. The devil wants to plant pride into our hearts. And the product of this pride is going to be contempt. A worthless view towards others. I don't need them. I don't need what they have to offer. As the devil continued on the attack on Eve's heart, he first planted pride. Look at it, verse 5. Look at what he says to Eve in verse 5. He says, "Then your eyes shall be open." Hey, Eve. Eve, your eyes are going to be open if you take this fruit. Hey, look at what else he says. "And ye, you're going to be as a God." Oh man, that's the New Age movement right there. The New Age movement is all about, hey, you're a God within yourself. Oh, you read these self-help books. That's what it's all about. You can do it. The power's within you. And even quote-unquote Christendom is going that way. Hey, the purpose-driven life, it's in you. You can do it. Can I say, we're nothing apart from Christ? Can I remind us of that tonight? All the self-help books, you better be careful about getting into all that junk. I'm not a God within me. I need Christ in my life. I need that foundation. Without Him, I'm nothing in my life. But you know what the devil's going to try to tell you is that you can do it on your own. You got the power within you. Hey, you're somebody. And that's what he's telling Eve. You see this right here? Hey, you can be as gods. You can be wise. You'll know good and evil. You'll be somebody, Eve. You're somebody. You deserve more. And Eve fell for it. She saw, the Bible says, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Hey, this will make me something. I'll be somebody. I deserve this. I deserve to be wise. God's keeping me from something that I deserve in my life. You see how pride's setting in? I'm somebody. I need this. This is something God's trying to keep from me. If the devil attacks, or in the devil's attack, he desires to begin to build us up with pride. You're somebody. You don't need help of others in your life. You don't need the pastor. You don't need your parents. Hey, you can do it without your parents' counsel and advice. You don't need to follow them. He tries to build us up to be self-reliant. You don't need what a pastor is telling you to do or what parents are telling you to do. You don't need the rules in your life. You don't need the standards in your life. You just get rid of all that. You be your own man. You're somebody. You deserve more for yourself. You deserve this in your life. That's what the devil is going to try to put in our hearts. Remember the devil's end game is to keep us from the will of God. You remember that? And so he's going to place pride in our heart to think, I'm somebody, I don't need anybody else. I don't need all that. What is he going to do? Proverbs chapter 16, turn over there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Keep a finger in Genesis 3. We'll go back there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. For you that have them, you just place your lotto ticket there. If you win, make sure you tithe. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Y'all there? Y'all still awake tonight? All right, let's look at it. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. A haughty spirit before what? You know, I think sometimes the devil knows the Bible better than most Christians know their Bible. He knows pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit comes before a fall. What is he trying to do? He's trying to get us to fall from God's will. He's trying to get us to be destroyed from doing God's will for our life. And so he knows, he's a pretty smart character. He knows if I can get them built up with pride, what's going to happen? They're going to fall. Their life is going to be destroyed. Hey, it's simple. All I got to do is build them up with pride. All I got to do is get a little bit of pride and arrogance in their life. And man, I got this made. Look at Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. The verse says, "But when his heart was lifted up," speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, "and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." What happened to old Neb? His heart was lifted up with pride. He began to think, I'm somebody. He began to think, hey, I got this down. And he fell. Oh, what happened to David? The devil got hold of David and planted pride in his heart. He numbered the people, and God brought down judgment. 70,000 died in Jerusalem. The devil knows a weak point is pride. Why does the devil know a weak point is pride? But what did the devil fall from? It got the devil. He knows it's going to get us. He was an angel in heaven. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning. You turn over to Isaiah chapter 14 and you read about Lucifer there. You read about the devil before he fell. I want to be lifted up like the Most High. I. Multiple times he talks about himself being lifted up and being somebody. And man, that pride got him to fall. Can I say, Christian, you need to be so careful because the devil's going to work hard to place pride in our hearts. Why? Because there's a fall coming afterwards. When I allow pride to slip into my heart, I all of a sudden get independent of God and godly influences in my life. I don't think I need them anymore. I get away from the book. I start to make decisions without counsel from the book, without godly counsels in my life. It's pride. And that's why the devil wants to throw it into my life. What tool does he use to get this pride into our life? Success is one of the tools the devil uses to plant pride. A man once said, success is the hardest and most dangerous thing for a young Christian or a young preacher. Can I say, success is the hardest and most dangerous thing for any Christian? Because as we see success, it's very easy to begin to think, hey, I got this. Hey, I'm doing pretty well for myself. Hey, I could kind of sit back at ease now and just go on with my way. You got to be so careful with success. Praise God for success in our life. I'm not saying I want to be a failure because that's not what I want to be. But I better be so careful when I start to see success in my Christian life or success in my home or success in my marriage. Hey, don't let that get to my head here. Don't let it get to my heart unless I be lifted up with pride and then because of that, I fall. When we let pride seep into our lives, we become independent of God. I don't want to do God's will anymore. I want to do my will. For the young person, I don't want Bible college. I want to go my own route. I don't want to marry God's mate. I want to marry the mate that I want for my life. I got my desire, my plans, and we forsake, we become independent of God because I want what I want. It's pride in my life. I got to be so careful. The Bible talks about a person that has that conceit in them. He says there's more hope of a fool than of him. You know anything about a fool, you read about a fool, there's not a whole lot of hope for a fool. When I allow pride to seep in and let it take over my heart, man, I become in a hopeless situation right there. The devil's got his claws around me. Christian, can I warn us tonight? I've got to be so careful about the devil attacking my heart through this issue of pride and allowing pride to get in my life and saying, God, I don't need your help. I don't need that route in my life. The devil attacked Eve's heart through pride. The devil attacked the hearts of great men and women through pride. And the devil's going to attack our hearts through pride. Mark it down. If the devil can succeed in planting pride, hey, he wins. He wins. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, or excuse me, 6. Colossians chapter 6, verse number 3. I want to use a lot of Bible because I want to show you this isn't my philosophy here. This is Bible right here. The Bible lays it out for us, how the devil's going to attack and how I can combat his attacking. A lot of times we get pride. I mean, I don't need what my parents taught me. I don't need what my Christian school teachers are teaching me. And we stiffen up. The Bible talks about that person that stiffens up. You remember that stiff neck in Proverbs? That guy that stiffens his neck? Shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. You know what causes us to stiffen up in our life? Pride. I don't need that. I don't want those rules. I don't want those standards. I don't want that way in my life. And God's trying to work and God's trying to work. But pride causes us to stiffen up. And the devil says, hey, I got them where I want them. Colossians chapter 3, or 6, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, who is he deceiving? Y'all look at me like I'm out of here. I got this in my notes. Am I not reading the right scripture here? Wrong Bible. This is the Swarga version tonight. Try Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. That has 6 chapters, I think. There we go. Praise the Lord for Sarah Beatles. Look at it. Chapter 6, verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth who? Himself. When I allow pride to get in my life and begin to think I'm somebody, and I just take my own way, I stiffen up, who am I deceiving? I'm not deceiving God. I'm not deceiving people around me. I'm just deceiving myself. I got to come back to the realization I need Christ in my life. I need this book. Hey, I need the rules and the laws of this book in my life. I can't do it without that. Christian, you're not going to survive in God's will. You're not going to stay in God's will, which is what our goal is as a Christian, to stay in God's will. You're not going to do it without sticking with Christ in your life. You're not going to do it if you start going off on your path. Understand, hey, I'm nothing. I'm nothing without Christ. I must realize I deserve nothing but hell. I really don't. I don't deserve anything else but that. But Christ has been so gracious to me, I need Him. I need Him. The Christian must keep himself humble in the sight of God. I got to stay humble. Next, the devil's going to plant. He's going to plant that disdain, that pride in my life, that conceit. He's going to plant nextly disloyalty in the heart. Disloyalty in the heart. Followed up by the seeds of pride in Eve's life were the seeds of disloyalty in Eve's heart. Back over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, we find after Eve says, you know what, this does look pretty good. You know, I am going to be somebody. Man, I can be wise. Look at what she does here, verse 6. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Her decision to grab a hold of this fruit and take a bite was not just a decision to eat some fruit. It was a decision to betray and forsake God's law. Sometimes we think our decisions are just trite decisions. Well, this is no big deal. It's just a little thing. When it's in disobedience to God's word, it's not just a decision to, oh, this is cute and fun. It's a decision to betray God's law, to forsake God's law. I got to see the seriousness. That's sin. I got to see the seriousness of sin. And Eve right here, it shows her disloyalty that was planted in her heart by betraying the law of God right there. Hey, God had given her the life that she had in the garden. God had placed her in the garden, perfect garden right there, perfect life, and God had given her all that, and Eve right here decided to turn away and forsake it all by eating that fruit. Hey, I'm going to go my own way. God says go this way, and what does she do? She forsakes it, she betrays it, she's disloyal to the way that God put her in, and said, I'm going to go this way. You see where I'm talking about the disloyalty there. God set up a plan for me, but I'm going to turn my back on God's plan, what He wanted for my life. That's what a lot of Christians do. God gave us a plan. He says, here's the way I want you to go. In a betrayal on God's plan and say, no, I want my own way in my life. A disloyalty towards God. The devil placed disloyalty inside Eve's heart. A desire to forsake. Forsake what? Forsake God's way. Forsake God's law. Forsake God's authority in her life. Forsake what God had given her there in the garden. You see the same thing with Judas. Turn over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse number 2. You see what the devil had planted in Judas's heart there. I'm just trying to show you this is a real thing. The devil really works this way. You say, it's all you know, just stories and stuff. Some Christians treat the devil as a game. It's not a game. This is real. He really desires to plant things into your heart, into your mind, to get you off the track for God's will for your life. And he really wants to plant seeds of disloyalty in your heart to get you to forsake the route that God wants you to go. Look at John chapter 13, verse 2. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. There was betrayal placed inside the heart of Judas. Who did it come from? It came from the devil. He says it right there. What happened? The devil placed inside Judas betrayal. Disloyalty, a forsaking of Christ. He had traveled with Christ for those 3.5 years, and the devil in his heart placed, hey, I'm going to turn you from all that, forsake all that. It's crazy, and it befuddles me to see a lot of times Christians been saved for 15, for 20, 25, 30 years serving God, and all of a sudden they turn their back on all that they were serving God with, and they forsake it all. What in the world happened? Somewhere along the line, the devil got hold of the heart. And along that line, he planted some seeds of disloyalty, betrayal, forsaking. Leave it all. Leave it all. There was a devil that planted disloyalty in the heart of the prodigal son. He left the father's house. What was that? Well, he was just following his own dreams. Well, he was being disloyal to his father. His father raised him up in the way that he should go. And when he got of age, he says, I don't want the way that my father taught me. I'm going to forsake it. I'm going to head to riotous living. Disloyal to the Father. What planted that disloyalty? Well, it was the devil. He plants disloyalty in our hearts. The devil wants us to leave God, all that is godly in our life. He places disloyalty in the heart. Where does disloyalty begin? Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Where does this disloyalty begin? We see pride a lot of times begins with success. We begin to think we're somebody. Where does disloyalty begin at? Romans chapter 1, verse 21.
Where do these thoughts and these seeds of disloyalty and forsaking, where do they start in our life? I believe it starts in some simple place here. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. You there? It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Underline this phrase here, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Story right here. God's saying right here, these people forsook. They betrayed. They were disloyal towards God's way in their life. Turn against it all. Where does it boil down to? You see that phrase there? Neither were they thankful. I believe disloyalty begins with a lack of thankfulness in our hearts. You see, when I'm not thankful for all that God has given me or the authorities that God has placed in my life, it's a matter of time before I decide I'm not going to stay with any of that. The young person that goes off and does his own thing. Why does he leave his home? Why does he leave a church that loves him and that he grew up in after all the truth that he received? Why does he leave it all? Because somewhere there was never a time of thankfulness, or he lost that thankfulness in his heart. The thankfulness for the sacrifice that was made by mom and dad to teach him right, to rear him right, to have the right influences. The sacrifice of teachers and pastors to make sure that they had what they needed around them to succeed and grow as a Christian. There's a lack of gratitude. Why do a lot of times Christians leave church and forsake it all and betray it all? Because there's a lack of gratitude for what has been done in their life. It starts with gratitude. If we can keep that matter of gratitude in our life and thankfulness for what we have, for what God has given us, for the authorities that God placed in our life, then I can avoid that disloyalty down the way. It's hard to get disloyal towards your spouse when every day you're thanking God for your spouse. You see how that's the case? You know, young people, it's hard to be disloyal to your parents when every morning you thank God for the parents that you have. It's hard to get disloyal towards your church or your pastor when every day you're thanking God for the pastor of the church that you have, the Sunday school teacher that you have. But he's going to try to cause that thankfulness to slip away and to slip in some disloyalty, slip in some thoughts. Hey, you don't need any of that. You forsake it all, like he did with Eve. Man, if Eve would have been thankful for the garden that God had put her in, it's perfect. What more can you ask for? Was she not thankful for what God had given her, that she has to reach out and take one more piece of fruit that she couldn't have? Man, just get back to gratitude there, Eve, in the garden, and you would be all right. People allow the devil to plant that seed of disloyalty for their authorities many times because of a lack of gratitude. He plants that disloyalty, disloyalty to God, forsake Christian living, forsake the Bible, forsake all of it, disloyal to God, disloyal to parents, disloyal to a spouse, disloyal to a pastor or church, disloyalty. Why do good families just pick up and leave? Why? Because the devil planted some disloyalty in the heart. Can I say tonight, stay loyal to God? Just stay loyal. Stay thankful to God. Stay loyal to the authorities that God placed in your life. The Bible tells us in Romans, I believe it's Romans chapter 8, if I remember off the top of my head, where the authorities that we have been given are ordained of God. You don't have a parent that's over you that's not ordained by God. Wives, you don't have a husband over you that's not ordained by God. Stay loyal. Stay loyal to those authorities. Understand disloyalty is the devil's attack on your heart to pull you out of the will of God for your life. This was the case for Adam and Eve. It's going to be the case for us. It's a process that the devil uses. He's going to attack the mind, and then he's going to go after the heart. He's going to begin to plant that pride in our life, and then the disloyalty, and lastly, we'll be done. We'll go to the house tonight. The devil's going to plant dishonesty in the heart. Dishonesty in the heart. He plants dishonesty and lies in our heart to keep us out of God's will. At this point, Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit. Are they in God's will or are they out of God's will? Man, they're not doing what God told them to do. They're out of God's will. What is he going to do next? He's going to plant deceit and dishonesty in their heart to keep them out of God's will. You know what happens to the Christian? After the devil gets you and you fall a little bit, he's going to feed you the lie of you just cover it up and you'll be all right. You just be a little bit dishonest, you continue on, and you'll be just fine. Look at it, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. You see back in, or over in Acts chapter 5, Ananias. Peter asked Ananias, why has the devil planted in your heart to lie against the Holy Ghost? Who planted that lie? Who planted that dishonesty, that deceit there? It was the devil that plants that. Why? Because he wants us to believe the lie. If I cover it up and continue on, I'll be okay. Look at Eve here. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord, God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife, what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. What happened as a result? The devil convinced Adam and Eve, hey, you go ahead and cover up and you hide your sin and you don't have to worry about it. What does God say? Pay attention tonight. What does God say about sin in our life? He says, confess and forsake. You follow me? Confess and forsake. What does the devil say? Cover up and continue on. Hey, just cover up the sin, keep it quiet, brush it under the rug, and continue on. You'll be all right. And that's the lie that they bought into, the dishonesty that they bought into. Hey, you just cover it up. God will never know. Oh, come on. God sees everything. You can't hide it from God. What a lie the devil pulls on us that it's not going to be found out. The Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. You ever heard the saying, just fake it, no one's going to know? I went to a graduation. Went to a graduation recently, and one of the graduates there gave a speech. Her theme of her speech was, just fake it. I'm thinking to myself, you're at graduation, you're standing up there with some type of honors, and you're telling everybody you just faked it through high school. Good job. You're a winner. Just fake it. You know what the devil does? He plants in her mind, you just fake it, you'll be all right. You just fake it, you'll be okay. You know what we have a lot of times in our churches is people just faking it. I'll show up Sunday, and man, I look good, but I'll just go back into sin throughout the week. You're just faking it. Trying to fake God out. God, I'm all dressed up. I'm good to go. Trying to fake everybody else out in the pews. Just fake it. Just fake it. You'll be okay. Adam and Eve. We'll hide. We'll fake that nothing's wrong. We'll try to get away with it. It doesn't work in our life. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Ananias tried to just fake it. We didn't do anything wrong, Peter. God nailed him. Nailed the sucker. The guy dropped dead. I mean, if we had that today, somebody comes to church in dishonesty there, guy's dropped dead. Hey, carry him out, ushers. Bury him in the back. We get serious about this thing. What did they do? The devil planted lies and deception in the heart of Ananias and his wife. God knew all along. God knows the heart. The Bible says that God knows the heart. He knows what's going on there. You're trying to lie to the church family? It's craziness to try to live that double life. It's going to come out eventually, every time it does. You try to live one way here and one way there, the Bible says eventually you're going to fall. Don't buy into the devil's lies that you can continue on with that. Are you trying to lie to your spouse? Stories about the spouses running off with some person on the internet. What happened? Lies and lies and lies, trying to cover up. Nothing's going on. Everything's fine in the marriage. So finally, it all breaks loose. The devil tries to tell you, hey, just cover up. Cover up things in your marriage. Don't be open with your spouse. Don't communicate. Trying to lie to parents. Hey, young people. The Bible says with sin, when I get involved in stuff, and if adults will be honest, they'll admit to you, they all have times where they backslid in their life. They fell into stuff they shouldn't. Because we're human. But when I fall into something I shouldn't, the first thing I need to do is run to God and confess and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to get this right. You know what the temptation is? To cover it up and just continue on. Keep it away from mom and dad. Keep it away from the school teachers. Keep it away from pastor. Keep it away from all my authorities. And it'll be okay. You're ruining your own life by doing that. Can I say, parents, you got to beware. If a child has two Facebook pages, obviously something's wrong. They're trying to hide something from somebody else. I mean, simple stuff like that, you just got to look at. If somebody's trying to cover up something and they can't let everybody else know on the godly side of their life about what's going on the other half of their life, you got a problem there. That's not born of the God. That's born of the devil. If I got to live two double lives and hide one side of my life from everybody at church and from my parents, and then I have another side of life that I have on the internet with my friends living a false life, I got problems on my hands. That's the devil working in your life. That's not God. Every parent ought to be proactive in making sure, hey, my kids are doing what's right when it comes to media. See, I don't want to invade their privacy. When God called you to be their parent, which is what happened when they were birthed into this world, that's your responsibility. There's nothing in the room that should be withheld from you. There's not a cell phone that should be withheld from you. And I fear a lot of times as parents, where we mess up is we just don't take the effort to make sure everything's on the up and up. I don't want to take the time to check their phone out. I don't want to take the time to check out their Facebook. I don't want to take the time to check out their Instagram and all that stuff out there. I think sometimes we fear that if we checked it, we'd find out what we fear, and then we'd have to deal with it. And the devil's just letting it continue on. You know, it's better that we get caught in our sin now rather than continue on in sin. My dad always said growing up, I'd rather catch you lying now than see you in a jail cell somewhere because you're robbing a bank later on. It's a whole lot easier to catch lying at this point and catch deceit and catch sin while they're young than to let it progress and end up in a bunch of junk later on. Hey, better beware. Don't buy into the devil's lies that I could be dishonest and cover it up and just hide it. I'll be okay. Good rule of thumb, if you have to cover it up, hey, that stems from the devil. If you got to cover your tracks, it stems from the devil. What do I do about that? James chapter 4, verse 8. One last verse. Let's turn over there. We'll be done. James chapter 4, verse 8. Hey, young person, you live in a double life. You got one thing going on here, one thing going on there that you're trying to hide from everybody. What do I do about that? Hey, Christian, trying to hide addictions or hide things, relationships from your spouse. What do I do about these things? What does the Bible say? James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. It gives us a solution to the problem. I love God because not only does He point out the problem and He points out the error, He says, hey, now I got a solution for you. Here's where you're wrong. Now let's make it right. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What happens when I'm trying to cover up stuff and live two lifestyles? I'm double-minded. What does He say to do? He says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Get your hearts right. Clean out your hearts. Clean it up. Confess it and forsake it to God. Say, I had enough of this. I'm going to get rid of it in my life. I'm tired of playing two games. I'm tired of trying to live both lifestyles. Young person, it's going to catch up with you. Christian, it's going to catch up with you before too long. You cannot continue to play games with God and think you could just go on and on with that. Got to get it cleaned up. The devil has attacked your heart, and man, is he taking ground. I got to protect my heart. Christian, can I just remind us tonight? The devil's on the attack. What is he after? He's going to go after your mind first. And he wants that mind, that head, because he wants to control you. And then he's going to go after the heart right here. Why? Because if he gets the heart, all the issues that are going out of it, all those rivers that flow out of the heart, he's controlling all of that as well. How is he going to get the heart? The pride. He's going to get the heart through the disloyalty. Hey, don't worry about loyalty towards God, towards godly influences. Forsake it all. He's going to get the heart through dishonesty, through deceit, and all that, trying to cover up. Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard the heart. Protect the heart. Know the devil's device. He's going after my heart, Christian. At least when he comes after me, if I'll know the devil's plan, I can prepare a little bit for that and know how to fight it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. Christian, do you know your enemy? Do you know him well enough to see when he's attacking in your life? Maybe there's folks tonight.